Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. We have tonight with us the Bernard family on behalf of Ms. Danielle Mez. Good afternoon, Ms. Barbara Bernard, Ms. Adrian Bernard, Janisha Bernard, and Michael Lewis Paul Bernard. How are you all doing?
Good. Okay. Fine.
Okay. Y'all there? Did somebody just join us?
No, that was me calling back because the cell phone kept going dead and I just went on my house phone.
Okay.
We're live on the air.
Everybody's called in. Did somebody else just join us? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Listeners, we have with us tonight the Bernard family. Like I said, they're here on behalf of Ms. Danielle Mez. Ms. Barbara Bernard, are you not Danielle Mez's mother?
Yes, I am Danielle Mez's mother.
How many years ago, about 19 or 20 years ago, your daughter, Danielle Mez, was sentenced by the state of Louisiana. Am I correct?
Correct.
What time in prison was given to her?
She was given a life sentence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How was your daughter when she was charged in jail?
How was my daughter? She was all right, but
old was she? No, ma'am. I said, how old was she?
Mm-hmm.
How old was she?
24, 25.
24, 25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you for answering that. Ms. Adrian Bernard, are you the sister of Danielle Metz?
Yes, I am.
What were the original charges against your sister, Danielle Metz?
The original charges against Danielle was money laundering. She had a conspiracy. And there was one other charge I'm not sure because in the midst of her being charged, they dropped one of the charges. But she had three counts. She had four counts, and then they dropped one that was three. So mainly her main charge was conspiracy. And she did not receive a life. She received three life sentences plus 20 years.
Okay. All right. Ms. Bernard, what type of attorney did your sister have?
She had
Adrian Bernard.
The attorney was a traffic court attorney that practiced in the municipal court dealing with traffic.
Was Ms. Danielle Mez bond after being charged in jail?
Was she what?
Offered a bond?
No, she wasn't.
No.
Oh, Lord. And she was a first-time offender, am I correct?
Correct.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Lord. She ever offered probation?
No.
Okay. Your sister was convicted in the state of Louisiana. Am I correct?
Yes.
Is there another sister on the line?
Yes, she might be on the line, but I'm on the line. This is Danielle's mother.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Why is she now in the state of California and not in Louisiana? Can someone answer that for me? Could you answer, Ms.
Yeah,
Barbara?
I can answer.
Oh, Ms. Adrian.
She's in... because she was convicted in the federal system of Southeastern District in Louisiana. So she was not convicted, she was not charged and convicted under the state law, which is the governing body of the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana. She was convicted under the federal law, and under the federal law, she was sentenced under the mandatory sentencing guidelines, federal mandatory sentencing guidelines, and that's been heavy in the news because under those guidelines, the judge, they took the discretion out of the judge's hand and they came up with guidelines, and there are certain guidelines that they have to follow when you are charged and convicted under the federal guidelines. So that's what they're trying to do away with, these mandatory minimum sentencing guidelines. And the judge told my sister when she was sentenced that those mandatory sentencing guidelines weren't enacted, then she wouldn't have received but 5 years. So do the math. 5 years as opposed to what they actually gave her, 3 life sentences plus 20 years. So she came to the prison in Dublin, California, because I lived in Los Angeles at the time, and I was in better shape and much younger to do the traveling, and I had her 2 children that she entrusted to me when she was arrested, and I had those kids. So we lived in Los Angeles, and we were able to go and visit her and save my mother from coming and doing a lot of running to see about Danielle. So that's how I wound up in Dublin, California. That is a federal prison.
Okay. All right. I just have a question. I remember we had talked before, and I remember you said something about a driver's license. Did your sister have a driver's license at that time?
Yes.
She didn't have a. She had a driver's license.
I think she did. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right.
She didn't have a social security card.
She didn't have a social security
card.
She
still to this day haven't gotten a social security card, so she's like a citizen without even a legitimate claim of citizenship. No social security card, but she was born here in the state.
Were there any? You named the charges, but I have to ask you: were there any drugs involved in this? Did they say there were drugs or anything involved in this?
Yes, it was. That's what they said: conspiracy, money laundering, and drug trafficking. That's correct. But there were never any drugs that they got off of their person or their homes or anything. And the drugs and stuff that they mainly claimed that they attributed to them was, that's how they came up with the charge, conspiracy. Because what they did was they got other defendants that were already served, well, I'll say prisoners, ex-convicts that were already serving time to testify against them. They never actually got any drugs off of their person or none of their personal residences either. So no drugs were ever taken, or they were never caught with any possession of any drugs. This was all hearsay.
Okay. Your state testimony. Okay, do you feel that your daughter, Danielle Nez, knew what she was getting into when she married Mr. Nez, Miss Barbara?
No, I don't think she knew what she was getting into. No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Okay. Janisha, you were how old when your mother went to prison?
I was 3 years old.
3? All right. Now, as a young adult woman with more understanding, how do you feel about the whole situation with your mother?
I think it was harsh and unjust that they gave her the time that they gave her. And I didn't understand why she got so much time that she got for a crime that wasn't necessarily true, because they didn't have any evidence.
Okay. Okay. Carl. How are you? Carl Bernard, are you on the phone?
Yeah.
How old were you when your mother was sentenced?
I think I was like 5 or 6 years old. I'm not sure. Like,
seven.
Okay. Like
7.
Mm-hmm.
How has it affected your life, Carl, with your mother being incarcerated? How has it affected your life?
I had to just like tell him that, like, because you know when my mom was home, you know, I have a great memory, so therefore it's been a long time, but as far as memories go, I hold them like real close to my heart, so therefore as far as memory goes, it seems as if it was yesterday, because like I have a great memory, like I said, but I had to tell him that just because that's all I know for the most part was like my mother. So, but I, you know, like everybody, like coming up, like as a young African American, a lot of people. You know, a lot of kids go without their dad. Like, it's more common opposed to, like, going without your mother or whatnot. So it's totally different. So I had to adjust. My grandmothers both, like, done a great job or whatnot. You know, and I'm definitely appreciative for that. But it's nothing like having a mother there, you know. So it was totally different. And I'm still going through it to this day, you know. So it made me a stronger person. But, like, it's nothing like that mother love, so.
Yeah. Okay, I understand that. Michael Lewis.
Yes, ma'am.
Michael Lewis, you're an advocate for Ms. Daniel Manz, and you're a member of the ACLU and I believe the NAACP. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Mr. Lewis, what is your opinion of the time Daniel Manz was sentenced to? What is your opinion of all this?
Wait, I'm gonna give it to you.
Well, my opinion is that it is a unfair and unjust sentence to be given to anybody, not only just Ms. Danielle Metz. That's given to any human being. There were certain factors that were not taken into consideration when they were sentencing Ms. mother.
Okay.
As they stated, was 24. Not only was she 24, but she had two children. And on top of that, she had somewhat of a spotless record, never being in trouble with any manner of law. Those things were not considered. That's the first thing you take into consideration when you bring up charges on a person. Have this person ever been egregious to the justice system? Have they ever had a problem with police? Have they ever been in custody before? Those things ought to be weighed and then considered. This woman is a first-time nonviolent offender. So, yes, the sentencing was unjust, and it is most certainly unfair.
Okay. Mr. Michael Lewis, how long have you been fighting for the release of Ms. Danielle Mears?
Well, I have known the Metz and Bernard family going on 4 years now as an advocate for the last three.
Okay. All right. On that note, listeners, we're going to have to take a break. Please come back and listen to the Angela Butler Show. We have the Bernard and Metz family on the line on behalf of Ms. Danielle Metz. We're going to break.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, listeners, that was the Digital Conglomerate. We have a caller on the line. Who is calling? Now, don't give your name, but do you have a question?
No, I just called for
caller.
Listen. I just called
just
for
called
listen.
Listen. Okay, yes, ma'am. All right.
I think that's my sister.
That's my granddaughter.
Okay. All right. Michael, is there a petition, Mr. Lewis, Michael Lewis, is there a petition for people to sign to free her? Or?
Yes, there is. There are currently a couple of petitions on Facebook that is being circulated. You can go to my Facebook page. My name is Michael Lewis, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, last name L-E-W-I-S. And on my current listing today, you can find where it says, I petition, free Daniel Metz, I petition. Please, go on. We are currently trying to get no less than 50,000 signatures so we can send these to the board of, What is it I'm looking for, Sister? Appeal. Board of Appeals or Clemency Board on behalf of Danielle Metz.
Okay. Miss Adrienne Bernard, have you contacted the White House or President Barack Obama about your sister, perhaps for a pardon?
Yes, we have. She has had three clemency petitions, and she has been there and have been through. We have seen three sitting presidents and still have not gotten any relief. I have contacted President Obama, First Lady Obama, Attorney General Eric Holder, and we still, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, another Congresswoman, is it Barbara?
Barbara Lee.
Yeah. So we have definitely been knocking on some doors, most definitely.
I have to ask you, what's your sister doing? How are her spirits? I mean, how is she doing?
Remarkably well, considering. You wouldn't think she's been here 19 years because she is very resilient. She has a strong spirit and a strong will, so she's doing exceptionally well considering what she has had to endure.
And I would like to speak on that too. A couple of weeks ago, I went with Adrian to see Danielle, and I go to college and I study criminal justice, administrative justice, and criminal law. And I know there's a facade that, you know, prisoners have to put on, not to appear weak before others to become prey. Again, you know, I had to ask a line of questioning to Danielle, which I really didn't want to because I knew it would show her true emotions. And I asked her, you know, I said, how do you feel? And she responded, as you would expect, I feel fine. I said, no, I want to know really, deeply, personally, how you really feel. And when I asked that, she immediately, you know, stood up from the table and tears began to fill her eyes, and they rose. And she said, see, that's why I didn't want you to ask. You know, I'm tired. You know, she just told the truth. You know, hey, I'm tired. I'm hurting. I've been here 20 years. It's not comfortable. She said, how do you think I feel? You know, I want to be home just like anybody else. And I really felt it. And I told her I really didn't want to ask her that. I say, but I need to hear you say these so when I go back and talk to people on the phone, I can share your emotions so they can actually feel your emotion. They can really feel how you really feeling. And no sooner than I posted on Facebook the true emotions of how she felt, I mean, I got hundreds of tips of people being sympathetic, but I don't need sympathy. I need folks that's actually going to do something about helping us to help Danielle by signing the petition and speaking about this to their congressmen, their senators. It's a bill that we're trying to push forward, Bill 2303, which is the repeal law of the mandatory minimum. This is what we're shooting for. Maxine Waters drafted it up. But again, as Sister Adrian said earlier, Maxine Waters was one of those that we have contacted for years and oftentimes have done nothing. But I thank and praise God that now so much noise is starting to be made about the mandatory minimum that they're starting to try to create some kind of bill or draft to actually do something. And this is why we're trying to go forward with this right now. We thank you for allowing us to come on the show to talk about it.
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. In my opinion, Ms. Danielle Metz has been treated unjustly, unfairly. And it really touched the spot of me because she was a young black woman. She was a young black woman at the time. And it just really touched me. And she had two children. And she was so young. I mean, it just seems like it's horrific.
It's very sudden. Horrific.
what happened to her. It's so unfair. And to me, that's the utmost in coldness, injustice, and it's completely unfair. And it's, can I ask you a question, Ms. Bernard? Ms. Adrian Bernard.
Yes.
Was your sister, isn't she the first woman to receive such a sentence?
She's the only woman in the nation that we know of for the past 19 years she's been incarcerated that have ever received an outrageous, cruel, and harsh sentence, thus as that. I mean, regardless of her nationality, regardless of culture, you know, she's the only woman in the system with that kind of time. And then an African-American woman with three life sentences, no murder, no rape, no child abuse, and none of this. You know, my sister had she's a first-time offender, never been incarcerated, never had any problems with the law whatsoever. My parents were hardworking people, never been in the criminal justice system at all. So, you know, it was just a very cruel and harsh sentence.
Yes,
and
I agree.
And let me speak on that one as well. I put on anything that I write, I say not only is she the first time nonviolent offender that have received this ridiculous, unfair sentence, but she never molested, never raped. She's not down for sodomizing.
She's nonviolent. She's a nonviolent offender. A first-time offender, nonviolent crime.
Didn't terrorize nobody. She's not a serial killer, but she was given the kind of time that America has labeled for serial killers and for terrorists. And it's hard to even fathom how they could even come up with such a ridiculous time where I know of some people that have actually murdered multiple people, and they have a release date, and one of them, his name is Ray Caruth, he's due to be up in a couple of more years, and he had his baby mama and his baby murdered. And again, Danielle Metz murdered no one. That is not even on the table of things that she's accused of doing. Murder was definitely none of those.
Okay. Ms. Adrian Bernard, have you been trying to do something to help other children with parents in jail or prison? I remember we talked about this one time. You had said you were doing something in the church.
Yes, I was inspired to do a newsletter, a quarterly newsletter, and it's Children of, it's titled COPS, and that means COPS. The acronym to it is Children of Prisoners Excelling and Succeeding, and our first issue was for October to February. And I have Danielle and her daughter on the cover of that issue. I have a story in there concerning about my mother and what she has had to live through this nightmare. Even Carl has a story in there. And I've had some other pastors and bishops that have taken out ads in that book. So what we're trying to do is bring some attention to, because society, once the parents are taken out of the home and they have made mistakes and have been in prison, then, you know, you're in prison and the whole family, really. And I'm trying to highlight those children that have gone on to succeed and excel and have made something out of their lives and have not fallen into the trap and have not been people that have violated and have gotten into any trouble with the law. They have gone on to live successful and productive lives, and we don't know what these children have had to endure, some of them being placed in the homes in the as wards of the states in foster care, and then those that have been left with the family, some of the family members have abused them and misused them and what have you. So we're trying to highlight and bring attention to those children that have had to suffer because of their parents' incarceration, and letting the world see that just because
because my mother and my father may have violated the law. That is not what God has destined for my life. I, Glenisha, is a young woman that have graduated from school. She's in college. She's working a full-time job. She's got married last year in May. So she is to be honored and commended for living an exemplary life in spite of her tragedies, in spite of the cards that was dealt her. Carl is another young man. You know, he has never been in trouble with the law. He don't have a criminal record at all. So these are the kids we don't even think about. You know, so when you imprison the mothers and the fathers, not that they don't warrant this, but what about the children? What are we going to do for the children? Are we going to penalize them because of their parents' mistake? Not so. The society needs to right some of this wrong that we have done to these children. They are our future. Glenisha is our future. Carl is our future. Yes. So what are we going to do about these kids?
Okay, there's a caller on the line. Caller, do you have a question or are you just listening?
I'm just listening.
You're just listening. Okay. Miss Barbara Bernard, you're the mother of Miss Danielle Nez.
Yes,
was your daughter a business owner at one time in her life before she was given this very harsh and unfair sentences? I mean,
what she
did
she have a business? No, she didn't have a business.
Okay. She didn't do hair or anything
like
that?
Yeah, she was a beautician. She went to school for cosmetology. Yes, she did.
Yeah, so she was a productive citizen.
Yes, she
had
was.
Never
she
been
was.
In
yes,
any trouble,
was.
Like Mr. Right. Michael Lewis said. She had never been in any trouble with the law.
Whatsoever,
I mean,
none whatsoever. And I'm very prejudiced about that, very upset about that. And sometimes, if I go to court for jury duty, I tell them I don't want to be on the jury because I'm very prejudiced about these things. And I could never convict nobody, never under these circumstances that the way they did my baby. No, baby, I can't do that. I'm very prejudiced.
Okay.
Very much so.
Okay. All right. Will you please tell the listeners where they can go to sign a petition for Ms. Mez?
Yes, currently.
Any of the
again,
petition?
You can go on Facebook and go under my name, Michael Lewis, MICHAEL, last name LEWIS, and it is posted on there today. It's Free Danielle Metz, I Petition. All you have to do is click on, it'll be a highlighted box in blue. Click on that blue box or either double click, and it'll take you to the petition. At the top of the petition, it'll have three different columns. One of them is say, sign the petition. Click on that, fill in the information, sign the petition, and we would definitely want to thank you and appreciate you for signing on. You are helping a family unite back together. This has been a 20-year journey for a daughter, son, mother, mama, grandma, and sister and brothers.
Yes, yes, and I really hope that she is great. I hope somebody hears this interview, and I hope more people sign it. I know you probably have a lot of signatures, Mr. Michael Lewis, and my heart goes out to her family, her mother, her two children, Carl, Bernard, Janisha. My heart goes out to you because it's so unfair.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Can I also let your callers and your listeners know that they can go to the website we have created, COPES, that's Copes, now NOW.org, and you can read a little more about Danielle's case through that newsletter and on that website.
All right. I thank the Mez and Bernard family for coming on my show. I thank you. Thank you very much. It's been. I'm glad you came on the show and told your sister and daughter and mother's story. And I really hope justice she gets justice.
I hope so too.
True justice in the case that was injustice.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all for coming on.
And thank you, for having us. And we do appreciate
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Alvin Hicks, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. I'm on the line.
Hi, welcome, listeners. We have on the line Mr. Alvin Hicks, author of Flight of the Rosebud. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Hicks?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. Is this your first book, Mr. Hicks?
Yes, it is. This is the first book that I've had published, but I'm working on a few other ones at the time.
Okay. How did the title come to you? How did the title come to you, Flight of the Rosebud?
Flight of the Rosebud, the title came about from the writing of the book. The first name I had for the book was not the one that I found when I finished writing that I wanted to use. So I took it, it came from actual events going on in the book.
Okay. What is your educational background, Mr. Hicks?
My educational background, I have, you know, high school, a little bit of college, not a lot of college, but I did a lot of personal study. I studied a lot of history, a lot of dealings with people who were teachers. One of my biggest idols was Laila Africa with the good. He's a writer as well, and he writes a lot of books on history. As a matter of fact, he wrote the first book of Gullah history, of which I am, and he helped educate me about the history of a lot of the things going on in the South. So a lot of my knowledge came from dealing with people who were educators. Matter of fact, I come from a family full of educators, so that's a lot of my educational background.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What was your prior profession before becoming a writer? Did you always want to be a writer, or, you know, what did you do before?
That's funny you ask. I come from, first, let's see, I was a caterer, limousine driver, mortgage banker, home inspector, and then I started doing my own business as a home inspector about 10 years ago. And, I was a home inspector for HUD about 10 years ago. And then I started doing it on my own about five years ago.
Okay. What inspired your book? What inspired your book?
I think because when I started writing this book, I was dealing with a lot of people who were saying things about black history, and they couldn't make the tie from the slave to the slave master to what's going on today. So when I wrote the book, when I first started, the story came. And I don't want to give away too much on the book because it's such a good storyline. But when you read the book, it jumps from, I could say, it jumps from 1863 to 2004. And it's a good jump that brings people, when I started writing it, it kind of made me want to make people understand the tie between what happened to slaves and why people do what they do today.
Okay. All right. Why now? Why write this book now? What made you?
The timing of it is, you know what, I finished. I started I started about 7-8 years ago. And when I started, I didn't take writing seriously. I wasn't a writer. My grandmother was a writer. I knew Lila Africa, and I knew a few other writers, but me as a writer, I never thought about it, but I kept putting into it. You know, the story just hung on to me almost. So while I was writing the book, I had an illness to come upon me. And while I was dealing with that, I finished the book, finished doing all the work that it took to get it published. So I produced what I had to offer.
Okay. Have you always wanted to write? Has it been something you've always wanted to do?
I guess I did. I have a lot to say because this one here is 316 pages full of just constantly pulling you in deeper into the book. So it constantly pulls you in and keeps you motivated to keep going deeper and deeper into the book. So I guess I did. The storyline is quite consistent all the way through. I would say yes. I always wanted to write, but never really took it serious until after I got about halfway finished with this one. And I said, wow, okay, the story's pretty deep. Where am I going with it? So, yeah, I guess I did, yeah.
Okay. Slavery is something that most people don't like to think about in this country. Most people believe that some people would say that discrimination really doesn't exist anymore, and there are no such thing as slaves anymore. But discrimination, that part of history still existed. You know what I'm saying? That
uh-huh.
still happened.
Uh-huh.
And it's still affecting black people to this day.
Sure, yeah. Well, yeah, slavery today is still a big item around the world. As a matter of fact, right now, sex slavery is a big issue. having people do what they don't want to. You've had issues here in America, here in Atlanta, where a lady, I think it was last year, she had she held somebody as a slave in her house and had her working for free. She was from Africa, and the lady that she brought over was from Africa, and she held her as a slave here in America. So slavery still exists. And sad to say, it was a black woman who did it. So it still exists. It's just something that people need to understand what happens between a slave and slave master is the tragedy that we have to deal with. Slavery wasn't always American slavery was the worst type of slavery. This is from the history of slavery. Slavery in America was the worst type of slavery ever on earth because we were treated so badly during that time period. So because before a slave could purchase his freedom, slaves were allowed to be a part of the family and slaves were allowed to do a lot of different things in other countries. Slavery wasn't as bad as it was here. So America has had the worst record of slavery ever, and people in this country still do those type of things.
So it's still going on?
Oh, sure. It's around the world. It's still a major issue around the world.
It's an issue around the world, but are you saying it still goes on in this country?
Oh, sure. Yeah. It still goes on.
Okay.
They get people here, you know, people who want to come into the country who can't afford to. Well, let's take, I'm not going to choose an ethnic background, but let's just say people who want to come into the country who don't have the financial background or the financial means to come into the country can now, you know, a person who does have that will tell them and say, well, look, you give me $30,000 and I'll bring you over. And the person says, well, I don't have that. Then they say, well, look, we'll bring you over, but you have to work it off once you get there, okay? So now when they get here, they don't have a way back home if they want to go back home, and they are considered a slave at that point because they have to work off their pay, of which they never really can because when they get here, they have to pay for whatever they're doing, wherever they're staying and whatever they're eating, they have to survive while they're here. So that bill never really goes away.
Okay. All right. All right, listeners, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a small break. We have Mr. Arthur Alvin Hicks here from the state of Georgia. His book is entitled Flight of the Rosebud. We're going to take a quick break.
When you're searching for the latest news on entertainment, the economy, business, technology, and creative arts, choose
the Digital Conglomerate Magazine.
Not only do they give you all the latest information, but they're there for you 24/7, baby, giving you the 411 and all you need to know, baby. Visit the Digital Conglomerate Magazine online. Just Google us, baby. We're everywhere.
All right, that was Garland McLaughlin. From the Digital Conglomerate Magazine. Let's not forget Exquisite Design. The Digital Conglomerate Magazine is an online magazine. And, of course, listeners, do not forget Ms. Demetra Stewart with Atlanta Ambition Magazine. Check her out. She also has an online magazine at www.ambition.com. Let's not forget More Time to Sleep inventor, Mr. Conti Catino. From the state of New York, check out his product. And all right, we're gonna take a small. We're also gonna listen to Faree Braxton, R&B singer. R&B singer, She's Gone is the title of his song, of his single. We have with us tonight Mr. Alvin Hicks, author Alvin Hicks from the state of Georgia. His book is titled Flight of the Rosebud, and I encourage you all to check that book out. Also, let's not forget Maurice and Abby Merweather, the Visalis distributors. Let's not forget them. You can find them on Facebook, and let's not forget to cater to their business. Has your book been released, Mr. Hicks? Has your book been released? Are you put to the release of your book?
Yes, we have. We just kind of released it about a month ago. We did a small release, but we were waiting for some other things to become available. The ebook for sure. I want people to have this on ebook because it's such a good read. And everyone who reads it, you know, they 316 pages, they knock it down because it pulls them right on through. They'll knock it down in like 3 days. They'll read in 3 days. So it's a good vacation read. It's a good book to read on vacation, a good book to read on a trip, a good book to have on your iPad, something you can read real quick. Good story with a good ending.
Okay. When will you have a book signing?
We haven't set up a book signing yet. I'm working on that, but I think we'll do something pretty soon here. I'll try to put that out over the internet when I'll do a book signing. Right now, I have a Twitter at AE. Let's see, I think it's A-E, Hicks A-E, on Twitter.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Twitter. And I think that's where I'll do a lot of my promotional work from there. I think it's on LinkedIn also about the same way.
Okay.
But we'll do a lot of internet promotional things. I'm gonna have to build a fan page for the Flight of the Rosebud online as well. I'll do that on Facebook as well.
Okay. What is your do you have a favorite part in your book, would you like to say? Would you like to keep everything a mystery about your book? We know it's about slavery.
No. Well, the part that I like, let's say I have a favorite character. I think my favorite character would be Anne. Now, there's two main characters. Anne is one of the characters that comes from the past into the present, and she is so determined to do her own thing. She was the favorite of her slave master, if you know what I mean. She was the concubine, in a sense, to her slave master, and her slave master loved her. He, in turn, and I'm going to give a little bit away.
Okay.
He, in turn, Flight of the Rosebud is basically about Anne. And she comes into the present and her life in the past and how she conducts her life at this time are very different. Back then she was seen as the favorite. She was a house slave. He kept her close by all the time. Today she's just another person, but she wants that favoritism from that same person. She's still looking for that love, in a sense. So she does a lot of things that are just not good. Let's say it that way. Anne is my favorite.
Okay. All right, Anne is your favorite character, but you're not going to let the listeners know about your favorite part. You're keeping something a mystery about the book. Okay, keeping a little mystery around the book to make the listeners. You gave them a little teaser there, just a little bit.
There you go.
So they'll go out and buy it.
I can put a little bit in there, give them a little taste a little bit. But I want them to get the story. I don't want to destroy the story before they read the book, because the intriguing part is how they actually come to where they are today. So.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Are you intending to have a sequel?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I am, I think, 30 pages into the next book. So, and it's going to be just as intriguing. So that book is going to be very good all the way through.
Okay. What advice can you give to other aspiring authors, people who want to write books and are trying to get their books published? What advice could you give to them?
Stick to what you're planning. Do it. Don't stop. You have to keep writing. Okay, first of all, write out your plot all the way through. Write it out. If it has different segments to it, separate the segments and fill it in along the way. Then once you get to a point where you have a finished product, let somebody read it and critique your book and be free to hear the truth. Listen to the truth, because the truth will save you money, time, and effort. If it's no good, believe me, you don't want to waste the money, because
okay,
it costs a lot of money to produce a book. And then once you get it produced, you want to make sure that you have enough people who have read it, or enough people that believe in your writing capabilities to make it actually go somewhere. They won't mind putting their name on the line, stating that it's a good book. So, yeah.
All right. What advice would you like to give to the young people, author that are coming up? What advice would you like to give?
Young people today, please, you're out there, they got you. Don't be trained to look at life only one way. There's a lot of different things that you can do. If you put your mind to it, it's always possible. Nothing out here is impossible. You can, no matter what you want, you can do it. You just got to put your mind to it. You got to believe in yourself and keep pushing forward. I wasn't a writer. I didn't come from a writing background. I don't have any kind of degrees, but every job that I've possibly had, most of the time you had to have some kind of degree to have the job. But I survived in it, excelled in it, and was very accomplished at it because I believed in self.
Okay. So even though college is being pushed and everything, I'm not downing college. I'm not saying
people shouldn't
go to college. But
right.
If you have a God-given talent, I believe that God will bring it to fruit.
For sure.
Forth.
He's not going to
okay.
let that talent that he gave it to you. You know he wants you to have it for a reason. So all you have to do is consistently keep going after it. Right now with the Internet out here, there's no reason why you cannot continue to learn whatever it is that you want to do. There's no reason for you not to get the knowledge and have it and believe that you have it and keep moving forward.
Okay. This book is a little, since I know a bit of this book, did history inspire this book? Who inspired you to write this book? What inspired you?
My inspiration was Rosalie Espivac. That's my grandmother. She's the founder of the Gullah Festival in South Carolina. She wrote a book. It was called Never Too Late. And she wrote that after she was 60. She in her 60s when she wrote that book. And she wrote it in a way of telling the family that it was never too late to do whatever it is that you want to do. Very good book. And when she wrote that, you know, I was young then, and I had very little knowledge about writing or anything, and we were so intrigued by the fact that she wrote a book. So I said, wow, that's pretty hot, you know. And then once she wrote that and then also did the Gullah Festival, I said, well, hey, I gotta put it out here myself because I come from that. I must continue that, so... She was one of my biggest inspirations in life. So, Rosalie Espivac.
Okay.
Love you much. Yeah.
Okay. So, a little bit of that book is a little bit fiction and history, too. Part two.
Oh, for sure. Yes. I'll say very little is fiction. Very, well, yeah.
It's not
fiction.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Very little. Well, so far, well, it's a story. Let's say it's fiction, but it's a story. Science fiction, I'd say, is very little. The story is fiction. The area that they come from is real. The possibilities are pretty much real throughout the whole book. You have a lot of things that are only one or two things that are science fiction that would be deemed questionable, but majority of the book is real.
Okay.
Or
right.
It's a fictional storyline, yeah. Mm.
Okay, all right.
Uh-huh.
Since you write books, I'm going to ask you a question. You are an author. Who would you most like to write about?
Who would I most like to write about? Wow. That's
mm-hmm. Who would you like most to write about? Living or dead?
Oh, I would say, I think one of my favorite personalities in history would be Frederick Douglass. Because Frederick Douglass was a self-motivated black man who didn't allow anything to stop him. He came from nothing and became something all based on what he believed about self and possibilities. He just never stopped. You have slaves that come from many different countries that were all brought to this country all and put all into one pot. but you don't know what area of Africa they came from. And Frederick Douglass was one of those brothers that just never allowed anything to stop him from doing whatever he had to do. He did a magazine. He wrote books. He wrote a lot of poetry. The brother just never stopped doing whatever he had to do, and never allowed anybody to deter him.
Okay. All right. Where can the listeners go to buy your Where can the listeners go to buy your book?
Right now, the book is on Amazon.com. You can go to FlightOfTheRosebud.com. You can buy the book at Amazon and the ebook at Amazon. And if you go to FlightOfTheRosebud.com, you can also get links that'll take you to somewhere to buy the book as well. But right now, it's not in stores. We're just a month old, so we haven't put it in stores just yet.
Okay, just a month old, so it hasn't been in stores yet. Okay, how long did it take you to write Flight of the Rosebud?
It took me, 7-8 years to write this book. And that's why I say you got to stay consistent. You got to, stay on it. You got to believe that it's going to work. So it took me about 7-8 years to write it.
Okay. Is there anything that you would like to add?
Believe in yourself. Anything is possible. If you want to do it, don't give up. Because if you give up, that thought was given to you. If nobody else is doing it, or if somebody else is doing it, you may have a better way. So if God gave you the thought process, process the thought. Ooh, I like that. Yeah. So.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I would write that down.
Okay. Alvin Hicks. Okay.
Yeah.
he likes what he said. He's going to include it in his next book, I imagine.
Like, yeah, I think that might go in the next one. If God gave you the thought process, process the thought.
Yes. All right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, that concludes our interview with you, Mr. Alvin Hicks. Thank you for coming to Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Well, thank you, Angela. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed the show. We've had with us tonight the Bernard family that was earlier at 6:30 that were on the show on the behalf of Ms. Danielle Mez. Ms. Danielle Mez is a Black American woman who was sentenced to prison unjustly and unfairly. I hope you go back and listen to the show. There's also a petition online to sign. On Facebook, Michael Lewis is his name, where you can go and on Facebook and type in his name and sign the petition. And also, the second half of the show, we had Mr. Alvin Hicks. I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to say it. I feel like Ms. Danielle Mez was treated unjustly. It's obvious that she's been treated unjustly, and it's very much unfair. And I really hope she's freed. And I really encourage the listeners, read up about Ms. Danielle Mez, because there are things online about her, especially on the Facebook page of Michael Lewis. That's MICHAELEWIS. He's an ACLU advocate, and he's also a member of the NAACP, and he's a radio host. So he's a legitimate person. Ms. Danielle Mez is a real person, and she deserves to be free because it's very unjust and unfair. We also had, like I said, Mr. Alvin Hicks, author of Flight of the Rosebud. Don't forget to check out his book on Amazon.com. I feel like you will enjoy the book, and it's a page turner. So don't forget to check out Mr. Alvin Hicks. His book again is on Amazon.com. And one more time, do not forget Ms. Danielle Mez and to go to Michael Lewis' Facebook page and look at the petition and find out about what's going on. All right, listeners, you've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hicks.
All right. Thank you.